Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ray Ray was the Bills' sixth-round pick in 2018, played 10 games for the Bills last year. The Bills released Jordan Vesey from the practice squad to make room. Bills and Dolphins coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff here at New Era Field. You can hear the game right here on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. I'll have the call of the game with Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio down on the sidelines. The Dolphins, reportedly, are engaged in talks to trade away running back Kenyon Drake. NFL Network says the Dolphins have had trade conversations with teams about Kenyon Drake. The team has indicated they would trade him if the right offer presents itself. He's in the final year of his rookie contract. He is among the leading receivers and the leading rusher for the Dolphins so far this year. Jalen Ramsey reported to the Los Angeles Rams last night saying he is overjoyed to be with the Rams now. A 17-hour travel day, met his teammates and coaches at the practice facility. He joins a Ram team that is 3-3 and mired in a three-game losing streak. Thursday night football tonight, Chiefs and Broncos kick it off tonight in Denver, 8:20 kickoff tonight. The Chiefs lead the all-time series 63-54, and they've won the last seven times they played Denver. Kansas City coming off a second straight loss at home against Houston last week. Sabres play at Los Angeles tonight, 10:30 faceoff at the Staples Center. Last night they lost their first game of the season in regulation as they lost in Anaheim by a score of 5-2, and the road trip continues in California for the Sabres on Saturday night when they play San Jose. And then San Jose comes to Buffalo for Buffalo's next home game on Tuesday. Baseball playoffs, Houston and the Yankees tonight play game four of their series. Astros lead the series 2-1. And that's the update. There's a lot going on, right, Steve Tasker?
There's a ton going on.
Both here in the building and outside the building, and we're happy to have Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas in studio with us. How you doing, Thurm? What are you rooting for the Astros?
No, a game, man.
Yeah.
Two weeks
is forever during
forever
the season.
Forever during the season, man. Oh, my God. Yeah.
It was good, though. It was good having a bye week.
You
live in a world of bye weeks, though, don't you? Pretty much.
Wow.
Don't you? No, seriously.
Wow.
Retirement. No, I mean,
no,
really.
I don't.
You don't?
I got a job, man. Are you kidding me? I come here every day for 3 hours like you do.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I got a job.
Backbreaking work.
Yeah, exactly. Construction, man. Yeah, come on now.
Oh, I was talking about my backbreaking
work. No, you're
carrying me. He's carrying me. That's his backbreaking work.
Bill's 16.5-point, almost 17-point favorites over the Dolphins this Sunday. It's amazing, isn't it, Thurm?
That is amazing. 16.5?
Yeah. It hasn't happened since 93.
Since 93. So what was the point spread when the Patriots played the Dolphins?
I don't know. Good
well,
question.
I don't know.
They probably had some 16 points.
Well, it was early in the season, really early, so nobody really knew, you know.
but they know now.
They know now, yeah.
Yeah,
they got beat 59-10?
Yeah, it was awful. I watched the game last night.
Now they're getting ready to try to trade their best running back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Devontae.
Yeah, well, you want to – when you talk about the draft
tank?
What do you call it? Tank. Yeah, this is obviously a tank to maybe get, I don't know, what quarterback
Tua.
Would you take?
Tua, they're talking about.
Tua?
In fact, people,
from Alabama?
When they went for Tua and lost the other day, they were saying the Dolphins went for Tua.
They went for Tua and won.
Right, yeah. No, it's
have you ever been around a team that bad or been you played on some Bills teams that were up and down, but not that bad.
Nobody's not that bad. I think the worst team that I ever played on that, I think it was 6-10.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, that was kind of different, but at least the Dolphins were kind of, you know, they were competitive back then all the years that we played.
Yeah.
But I've never seen, especially in this division where you've had the Patriots been great for 20 years.
Yeah.
And still teams are still haven't figured out how to beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about the Dolphins figuring out that Fitz should be starting for them? I mean, that's. They want to find out about Rosen, but I made the point that I think Fitz gives them the best chance to win. And on the other hand, if you put Rosen
in
there,
the best chance to lose.
Yeah, he, yeah, right,
right.
Fitz is a roll of the dice. It could, right. But it could come up lucky sevens too.
It could,
you know what
it
I mean?
Could. Right, right.
That's what scares me about that whole scenario. Yeah. And if you're the Dolphins, if you put Rosen in against the Bills defense the way it's been playing, people will say trade him now. I mean, get rid
right.
of, you know what I mean?
Get rid of him. They,
you might not get a chance to see him the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think it's a good move by the Dolphins. I mean, you always want the best opportunity to win, and I think Fitz does at this point, gives them the best opportunity to win. Because you know one thing, he's going to want to come here and play well. He's going to want to come here and play well because he was here for a number of years. And, hey, look, I mean, the guy's been with eight teams. He's had a little bit of success here. You know, when he gets hot.
Apparently.
Yeah, when he gets hot, you know, he can throw the ball and put up some stats. But I think we all kind of figured out with Fitz, he can do it for one, two, maybe two and a half quarters. And then I think it kicks in that I'm Dan Marino or somebody. I'm gonna put this ball right between there, and that's where all the interceptions started to come
up. We just
up.
Heard week two against the Patriots, they were 18.5-point underdogs. So wow. They knew.
Yeah, so they knew back
they
then.
They knew back then, yeah.
So, but I do think Fitz gives them the best opportunity to win. You know, Josh Rosen, you know, he's been moved around. I mean, he was in Arizona. They took the number one pick in Kyler Murray. Now he's with the Dolphins. So it's still time for him. This is only his second year.
Yeah.
Right? It's only his second year. So, you know, they're going to have to get better as a team and as an organization, and hopefully he'll be a part of that.
Hey, we've been talking a lot this week about Motor, Devin Singletary. It looks like he's ready to return to the lineup after his hamstring in week two, and he's had, well, it'll be, what, three games and a bye week off 4 weeks back. What do you think he might be able to bring to this offense? We saw a little bit of him in preseason in the first two games. What can Devin Singletary bring to this offense?
Well, I think, you know, with his speed and with his elusiveness, I like to see a little bit more of him in a passing game. You know, we haven't really thrown to the running backs really this year. I mean, I know T.J. Yeldon has a couple of catches.
Checkdowns, yeah.
A couple of checkdowns or whatever. But I like to see Devin get an opportunity to go one-on-one with a linebacker, you know, maybe in the flat. Not something long or whatever. But you know, I think with that, too, you know, you want to see what he does in the running game, too. I mean, obviously, he could be one of those guys that could be a third – first, second, and third down backs in the National Football League. So I'm looking for just a little bit of everything. I mean, I want to see him play.
Yeah.
That, I think that's what everybody's wanting to see is this, because if he plays well and does the thing that he did in preseason, I know it's preseason to regular season, but he does those things, it opens it up for everybody. Right. Everybody.
I was thinking, we said this earlier in the show, that you think, how are you going to beat this Dolphin team? What's it going to take, particularly with the Bills' defense? This game might scream to me like, hey, they're going to just hand it off 35 times, 40 times, and just dare the Dolphins to beat them.
I'll take
a couple of field goals and just dare the Dolphins to score that many.
I'll take that,
considering
what the weather might be Sunday.
Right.
Yeah.
So, they just brought back Sonoris Perry.
Right.
They got Devin Singletary, Frank Gore. Of course, I want to ask you about Frank as well. And then they got Tyler Croft on. They got like four tight ends on the
– right.
I mean, they got all these offensive – they just line up heavy and go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there might be a little bit of that attitude like – and like we've seen New England do. If you want to beat the best, be like them. Beat them the way it takes to beat them that Sunday, and it may be running the ball 50 times.
Well, if that's what it's going to take and you're 16-and-a-half-point underdog, yeah, it has to start the first quarter, the first drive,
right.
The first play of the game.
Yeah,
this is the way it's going to be all game long.
Yeah, strap it on.
Strap it up. Because, I mean, you look at their defense, Miami. I can't even name one guy over there.
Well, they're real no-name defense.
They're real number, right?
They're number 32. I mean, they're last in
everything. Pretty much every category, right? So, yeah. I mean, the weather is supposed to be not so good. So, yeah, you come out and, man, with Frank Gore right off the bat, I think, you know,
yep.
Then Singletary or whatever, and see how it goes. I mean, obviously, I think at this point, the way our defense is playing, Fitzpatrick won't have that type of game that – he sometimes have.
Right.
But I just think our defense
which
is
which type
playing.
Of game he sometimes has? The
picks?
The one where he throws five touchdowns?
Yeah,
or the
that
ones
game.
Where he throws five first-half picks? Well, either one.
Either one.
Yeah.
But I think our defense is playing so well right now. I mean
– they're tough.
They're tough.
They're tough.
They're really tough.
Oh, my God.
Dermot Thomas in studio with us. We are a week and a half, 2 weeks away from the trade deadline, and we did this Twitter poll the other day, Therm.
Oh, okay.
Do the Bills need to make a trade before the deadline? And if so, what would they need? An offensive lineman, a wide receiver, something else? I mean, do they need to make a deal, do you think, before the trade deadline?
I don't know. I mean, you know what? ever since McDermott and Brandon Bean got here, they've been doing, I think, everything exactly the way that they want to be wanted to be done. And at this point in time, they may feel like, you know what, we don't need anybody. Right. We don't need anybody. But there's always a possibility that that something might happen a week or two before the deadline, the trade deadline. You know, a player might get injured or whatever. And I'm sure, like these guys have done throughout the process of the NFL draft and everything like that, they already know what they want to do. They're way ahead of the game.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, what could the Bills obviously use, I think, right now to help them? I mean, Duke Williams just played his first game a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
played well. So do you
pump the brakes on a wide receiver, right?
You know, so and the Singletary come out and have a great game. You got Croft coming back, you know, him with Dawson Knox. I mean, it's just – there's talent all over the place on the offensive side of the ball. So one of the places that you might think about could be the offensive line.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this too. How long – we were saying there's 9 new guys on this offense.
Right.
How long you think, given your experience, how long is it going to take for them to think, okay, this is who we are, this is how we're going to do it, this is where we're good, this is where we're bad. How long is it going to take to find that out?
I think they've already figured it out, Steve.
You think so?
I think they've already figured it out. And I've said this before, and I've said it, and I'll say it again. When Coach McDermott got the job, he brings in teachers, motivators, energy type of guys. And so when you're around that all the time for the last 3 years, that's what you're going to get no matter what. Well, so I think they have figured it out. This is the type of team that we're going
to
be.
I'm talking about like this, though. I'm saying this is what we have the guys to do on offense. I mean, I think they have this idea that they want to be a team that, like I said, can run the ball 50 times or throw it 50 times or use the short pass this week, throw it to the tight ends this week, take this guy who beat this team last week, he's out of the game plan this week, it's this other guy now. Like, you know, like you see some – it's all about matchups, and it changes week to week.
Well, it changes just like – I mean, I think we've seen that over the course of, 15 years, the matchups that New England does.
That's right.
You know, I mean, couple of years ago when they signed a running back that was from here.
Mike Gillisley.
Mike Gillisley.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't play the first 3 games.
Antoine Smith.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, they're about matchups, and I think now you're starting to see it now with this football team, and it's going to be a big game for the motor.
The motor.
The motor.
Yeah, we'll see.
Fire up the motor. Hey, question for you. When you played with the Dolphins, was Stephen Ross the owner, or was that Huizenga?
It was Huizenga.
Huizenga. So this relates to their, I guess, tank attempt this year. This was a totally different group when you were there. I mean,
it's a totally different group.
I hate to see that happen in the NFL. Can I say that? I hate to see. And I mentioned to Steve, I'm watching the Dolphins this week and looking at how bad they are, and there was a little tiny bit of me thinking, oh, I feel bad for the Dolphins. Then I thought, no, I don't. They won 20 straight games against the Bills in the 70s. I don't feel bad for them at all. They're doing this deliberately.
Right. Yeah, they are. I mean, it puts a bad taste in the whole organization.
The whole league.
And the fans down in Miami, you know, it's very obvious what they're doing. Very obvious. It's not like, you know.
Right.
What's that mean in the locker room, though? That doesn't fly in a locker room.
That does not fly in a locker room, and nobody wants to hear it.
Right.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear it. That's where you get all the, you know, you might, from now all the way into the end of the season, there's going to be a couple of blow-ups in that locker room. I guarantee you there's going to be. Absolutely.
You spent one year in Miami, right?
Yeah.
And how did this come about? Just a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, or maybe it was last year, Daryl Talley winds up wearing a Thurman Thomas jersey when they retired your jersey here. He wore the wrong team.
How about Wacker throwing it on?
How about this? There's a picture of it.
There's a picture of it, yeah. Talking to my mom and dad.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, talking to my dad and my mom.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He's down.
Just reminding you,
I probably thought he was in Miami. Who knows? Yeah,
man, unbelievable. Thurman Thomas, our guest, the Hall of Famer from the Bills. And he's got a family member here. We'll introduce him. We'll let Thurman talk about him as well. Jordan Burroughs, Olympic gold medalist in wrestling. He's a Bills fan here to talk to the Buffalo Bills. What do you know about Jordan? He's your nephew, right?
He's my nephew. He is a Bills fan, but
are you eating while you're on the air? What happened?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I couldn't take it anymore. It was over here.
You got to do what you got to do.
Sometime. Yeah, exactly.
Welcome, Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
He's been, you know, in the family now for
6 years.
6 years now.
Yeah, crazy.
Crazy, and married to my niece Lauren, and he's been great. You know, it took a lot of pressure off of me because I was. the Hall of Fame running back in the family, you know.
Oh, is that tough?
Oh, yeah, it was tough. Yeah, I mean, okay, I had
let's just do the math. Hall of Fame running back.
Gold medalist, Olympic gold medalist.
Which
one? So he took a lot of pressure off
Listen,
of
he's taking some beatings, too, in his career. So.
People would rather talk to a gold medalist, think, right?
No, he's done
I just
well.
Got a gold jacket, not right. a gold medal.
You know what's funny is when I met my wife, Lauren, I didn't know that Uncle Thurm was a part of her family, right? Okay. And so I grew up watching Thurman Thomas and Jim Kelly and the Bills of the 90s, right? We call him Uncle Thurm. He's Uncle Thurm to us, right? Everyone else, like he's Hall of Famer priceless. For us. He's Uncle Thurm.
I am putting that on my
And so it was pretty cool. Like, I was excited right when we first met, when we first got a chance to go over to his house and meet him and spend time with his family. I'm like, this is cool. We got to take a photo. Yeah. And now we're just family. So it's cool.
Yeah. Were you a Bills fan growing up? You grew up in New Jersey,
I wasn't.
Right?
I grew up in South Jersey, 17 okay. miles from Philly.
Right.
And so I kind of kicked the system. My dad's a longtime Eagles fan, diehard, and I was a Broncos
God, I
fan.
I can't keep him shut up. Yeah, his dad is all, man, he's all over it. Man, oh, God.
The Eagles are here.
And are they coming in town?
Yeah.
They probably are.
Couple of weeks.
I ain't getting them tickets.
Wow.
The worst ones in the house. He's like, what are the worst tickets in the stadium? All right, here's two.
Close-knit family. That's nice to see.
Jordan Burroughs in studio with us. You're here to talk to the Bills today, but you also have your own All I See is Gold Wrestling Camp coming up this Saturday, right, at UB? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I've become good friends with John Stutzman, who is the head coach of UB Wrestling Program. And we are going to do a wrestling camp this weekend at the Murchie Family Fieldhouse. And it's really cool. So I get an opportunity to teach wrestlers in Western New York really just about my career, implement some strategy and tactical moves that I do at the highest level, but also teach them some character development. So it's a really cool opportunity.
And it's open to the public. You still can sign up to attend. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are taking registrations online, but it's also you can walk up and register right at the door. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It starts at 10 a.m. on Saturday.
And all weight classes, all of that?
All weight classes, all ages. You're never too old. Steve, if you want to join us, feel free to come by 10 a.m. Saturday.
You better watch it.
I got some wrestling shoes your size.
Coach McDermott come down and put on a headgear.
Yeah, I heard he's a two-time state champ. Yeah. I don't think a lot of people know that about him. He was a serious wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
He talks about it.
He
lets you know that he'll kick your butt, too.
Huh? Also, too, he's got that thing about him. Like, well, you know, maybe you don't notice it, but if you're a different kind of athlete than a wrestler, wrestlers kind of stand out.
Yeah, for sure.
In a group.
Absolutely. Well, we got big heads. We're relatively short. Our ears are messed up. We got some definitive characteristics.
Stitched together with boot leather, too.
Tell me about the Olympic experience. You went to two Olympics, right? You won the gold in London and then went back to Rio a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, and so the next Olympic Games is this upcoming summer, the summer of 2020. It starts in August, and they're in Tokyo, Japan.
Are you going there?
And I'm going to try. So you have to make the team every single year. So unlike in the NFL where you have long-term deals, each year for us is a renewal of our contract. So we have to make the team again. The Olympic trials are in April. They're in State College, PA. And if I make the team there, I'll go on and compete at the Olympic Games. I'm 31 years old.
So you still can pull this off, right?
Yeah, I can still do it. I can still do it.
tell me about the medal experience, winning the gold in London and standing on the podium, the anthems playing.
It's incredible.
What was that like?
It's incredible. Like, it's really indescribable because you grow up watching the Olympic Games, right? Every 4 years or so, we all surrounded our TVs and we sat on the couch and we watched the Olympic Games on NBC. And so to actually participate in it, and not only to compete there, but to win it, was pretty incredible. So I had my family in the stands. I remember getting my medal placed around my neck. I had never seen an Olympic gold medal until I actually won it on that day. And so it was a pretty cool experience, and I was happy about it.
And now wrestling's kind of a different kind of sport. So you live and work in Lincoln, Nebraska, which they got a quality college program, and you got to, I never thought about it, but you got to have somebody to wrestle against every day.
For sure.
To train. So do you have a list of guys that do that?
So I'm a former Cornhusker, Go Big Red. And I spend my time in Lincoln, Nebraska, back and forth between there and the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. And so we have what we call an RTC, or Regional Training Center, in conjunction with the college program there. We've got a top five nationally ranked wrestling team. And so I train with a lot of the guys on the college team. And so it's cool. It's a good way for me to be there. I can help recruit some of the better guys that come to the university, and then we can help sharpen each other. So I hope those guys compete at the collegiate level. They help me compete internationally.
This is not your first experience with the Bills, right? You were at camp a couple of years ago?
Yeah, 2017.
Okay.
2017.
And it was McDermott's first year, right?
Okay.
Yeah, McDermott's first year. And we made the playoffs that year. Yeah. Right? The first time
you're the guy.
Since early 2000.
Yes, so we did.
We made the playoffs. Now I'm a big Bills fan. Listen, it was nothing that I did. I think that when you bring in a new coach that's hungry, it just generates a lot of momentum within a program and an organization. And so I think that Sean did a tremendous job, and I'm excited to be a part of this.
A conversation when Sean got here. I would say, hey, you know, my nephew was Jordan Burroughs. He was like, what?
I'll
say,
well, he knew who he was.
Oh, yeah, he knew exactly who he was. And I was like, he wouldn't mind coming out to camp or whatever.
Yeah,
I set it all up and everything, and Coach was like, yes, thank you so much. So, yeah,
it was cool.
Yeah,
he showed us a lot of love. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Now, you will speak. The players will be off the field there in the next 15 minutes or so. What are you going to say to this group when they come up?
Just stay hungry. I think it's easy at this particular juncture of the season that you're 4-1, right? You're rolling. You got a lot of momentum. You're like, man, we can settle here because we're doing really well. But I think still at this point in the season, you still have a lot left to do. A lot of tough games. Guys are going to start giving you their best shot weekly because of the position of prominence that you're in. So just staying hungry, staying motivated, and knowing that we got bigger fish to fry than just being 4-1.
Just frying these fish on Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There
we go.
Like, no pun intended, right? Right. Than the Dolphins.
Good one, though. Again, Jordan, folks who are interested, maybe they want to get their kids involved in the All I See is Gold Wrestling Camp. Where do they go, and where can they get more information on this?
Yeah, for sure. So you can follow me on my social media pages at All I See is Gold, as well as the UB Bulls. So it's UB Bulls _ wrestling on Twitter as well. And then we'll be at the Murchie Family Fieldhouse on UB's campus at 10 a.m. on Saturday.
Looks pretty much awesome, all day, man. 10 a.m. till 3:34.
Yeah, we're grinding, man.
Grinding.
That's all we know.
Great to meet you, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank
Welcome
you.
Back.
You
Pleasure.
Come back whenever you're in town.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Jordan Burroughs, Olympic gold medalist, Thurman Thomas, Hall of Fame running back. You got to start wearing the gold jacket out here. Just
never.
Come on, man.
I get paid to wear that jacket.
Andre wears his to bed.
I love that.
Yeah, Andre wears his to bed.
He wears his in the shower, man. Take it off. Right?
Thank you, Jordan. Thank you, Thurman. Steve and I coming back with more on One Bills Live from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
And pork rinds.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. That was fun. Thurman's always great. And Jordan Burroughs, quite an impressive young man. An Olympic gold medalist. A two-time U.S. Olympian. Maybe going to be a three-time U.S. Olympian. And a Bills fan.
That's big.
Going to talk to the Bills any minute now after practice ends. He's big. He's good.
Yeah. He's...
I am. Now I've got to watch that, right?
Right.
I'm kind of looking forward to seeing it.
Usually, I'm not a huge Olympics guy, but it's when you have a connection like that.
Here's what's going to happen. All right, 2020 August, the Olympics are going to be on in Tokyo. Got to hope that Jordan makes it. And when he does, we got to get the Bills, entire Bills nation on board with his Olympic gold medal. Right?
Yeah, we'll follow that.
We'll follow
Bills
that.
Fan like
we'll
that.
We'll keep track of that on daily, but that was cool.
Hey, on Twitter, we're asking this question. Along with the Bills win, and we don't take that for granted. We don't assume that. We think the Bills are going to win. But along with the win, what do you want to see Sunday against the Dolphins? We've got more than 1,200 votes in on Twitter so far in our Twitter poll. And 63% of you want to see Josh Allen and the passing game improve in Sunday's game. 27% of you say you want to see the motor, Devin Singletary, return and spark the offense. 6% say you want more sacks and turnovers from the defense. 3% have something else in mind. Let's talk about it. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. And send in a tweet. We can read it on the tweet sheet. We'll get to that in a moment. Or you can just vote in the Twitter poll if you like. Let's go to some calls. Butch in Buffalo. Hello, Butch. Welcome. You still there? You on the air with us, Butch? Hang on. I got to switch something here, Butch. Stand by. I think I got you now. Butch in Buffalo, stand by, Butch. There you are, Butch. Are you there?
I know.
Sorry about that, Butch. First call of the day at 1:30. Wow.
Thanks so much for taking my call. I really appreciate you. You know, we were talking about a couple of days ago about the draft pick, about trading. And I left off by talking to Steve, and I want to say this because it goes in with the Twitter poll. Steve, I remember when you played and you know, you came in number 89. We didn't know who you were. So all we know would be this outstanding defensive. I mean, this outstanding special teamer flying out through just popping people. And then one day we found this guy in the offensive lineup, number 89, and the crowd was going crazy. And we named him Wiggle Wiggle across the middle because before Julian Edelman, before Cole Beasley, you know, it was you. You created that move of just Wiggle Wiggle across the middle. And every time you made a play, it helped us out. But the reason why, as you know, we had James Loftus streaking down the sideline, opened up everything in the middle for you and Andre. But saying that, going to this Twitter poll, looking at what we were speaking of and seeing that, you know, the Bills are holding pat of not making a trade, we get Robert Foster back, and I really believe in his offensive lineup come on Sunday. Robert Foster, Duke Williams, and along with Cole Beasley, and I really believe John Brown's going to play, this is going to really help us. But at the same time, you know, looking at this portion of it, you know, I really believe that offensively that if I'm looking at Brian Daboll, and we have a quarterback coach named Ken Dorsey. Ken Dorsey was brought here to help Josh Allen. I really believe if Brian Daboll go upstairs, just this one game, just to see what's up there and call it from upstairs, I really believe we'll be in a position that we can go ahead and make plays and put Josh Allen in the right situations to make plays. But saying that, Steve, I just wondered, I'm going to hang up and listen to the show. I'm happy Ray Ray's back. But I was always, I laughed and I hung up the phone from you. We used to call you Wiggle Wiggle across the middle. And you made the name. Before Julian Edelman or Cole Beasley, you were the one. And I really believe if Robert Foster this week can get this offense going, stretch it down the field, we'll see Cole Beasley and anybody else going across the middle and make it easy. I love both of you guys. I love Coach GR. Thanks for taking my
call. Love you. Anybody ever call you that before?
That's a first. That's a first.
Any thoughts on
No. On what he said, or what, yeah, wiggle, what he wiggle said. Across the yeah. middle. Yeah, I don't.
He said that too.
I get it. He's right. Now, offenses work because they got a lot of good guys on them. I mean, let's just face it. The more good guys you have, the better your offense is going to be. James Loftus came to the Buffalo Bills late in 1989 and was a catalyst for Andre Reed and that offense taking another step forward and going to four straight Super Bowls in the years that came. He came in the last four games, I believe, of 89. And then when we hit the field running in 90, four straight Super Bowls, and James Loftus was a part of all four of them. So having a guy on the outside certainly helps everybody else, particularly if he's a threat to catch the football. And James Loftus came in with a really full bag of credentials as well. He was a great player when the Bills got him, and he was accepted as such. So, yeah, that does make a difference, no question about it. I don't know about – Brian Daboll moving up into the booth, as Butch said, as alluded to, maybe that would change things. I don't know. I think if they thought it would be better, he would already be up there. But I think there's a lot of offensive coordinators and play callers are on the field these days because of what happens in between series, where they can sit down, talk to the guy, coach him up.
Use the tablets. The tablets are critical now.
Look him in the eye and get some feedback that way. I think a lot of play callers like that. They think that's really important at this point in history.
And the tablets are important. I mean, you see it every team, not just the Bills. The coordinator or whoever it is, the coach, will sit down with the quarterback and have the play cued right up there on the tablet and say, look at this. You don't have to radio down and say, hey, on that third down, you should have done this, not this. Right. No, they can walk over to him with a tablet and say, look at this.
Now,
this
tablets,
is what I'm talking about.
The tablets don't show film, but they do show still pictures. And this is what you're looking at pre-snap. And this is the guy that you missed, or this is the guy that you want to look at. When we call this formation and this, and here's what we're going to do next series kind of thing. We're going to get into this formation with put this guy here instead of this guy. And they're going to show us this again. Look right there and throw it to this guy. And if he does this, do this. If they do that, do this. You know, they walk through it like that, and they talk about the adjustments. And that's the kind of thing. And I'll tell you, in the current atmosphere of the NFL, they are changing the game plan between every series. They are saying, listen, here's what they're doing, so we're going to do this. And whatever you practice during the week, hopefully you'll have at your fingertips that adjustment where you can go out and say, okay, here's how we're going to do it now in this series. They don't go in. They don't wait till halftime to go in and say, hey, A, B, and C.
They do it on the fly as the game's taking place in between series, and that's why play callers love being down there so they can do that without any mistakes.
Yep. Let's take a call here from Paul in Kenmore. Good afternoon, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to know how 90 on the defense, Lobson, isn't talked about much on the telecast.
I don't know. We talk about him a lot on our radio broadcast on Sundays, Paul, and he's playing well. Contract year, obviously, extremely motivated. I think he's much more mature than he was a couple of years ago when he arrived, and he's playing well. He's an important part of their defensive line rotation, Shaq Lawson, no question about it.
Yeah, and he's flashed a little bit. He's in the rotation. I think they're happy with the way he's playing. They didn't pick up his fifth year option. You remember, and a lot was said about it. I think too much is said about it. He wasn't drafted by this coaching staff, but I think they like what he's given them. And I think they've kept him very motivated, and he's very motivated to play well. It's hard to get noticed on a defense that's playing so well everywhere. So that may be why he's not getting talked about on the telecast, because there's a lot of guys out there that are playing extremely well. He's another one of them, and I think that's the reason.
One more call this segment. We'll go to Vince in North Tonawanda. Hello, Vince. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Looking forward to Sunday's game. The one thing I did want to ask, with this trade deadline coming up, would that help to be able to find out if there's a way we can do something about our punter situation?
Well, I think the punter has actually improved himself, and I think his Tennessee game was evidence of that, Corey Bohorquez. Bohorquez's issue to me, Steve, is inconsistency. And he had a really good, solid, consistent game against Tennessee last game out. So I would kind of sit and wait for that. And, by the way, who's going to trade away their punter if they like him and if he's doing good? Nobody's going to trade away a punter.
Yeah, you don't need to trade punters.
Nobody's got two.
Right. You're not going to trade punters. If you want a new punter, you got to go out and find one. That's all there is to it. You bring him in on Tuesdays, you get a file on him, and I'm sure the Bills have a list of about three or four or five, maybe more guys that are available as punters. And they have a file on each one of them about their strengths and weaknesses, about why they're not punting in the league now. The trade deadline and the punting issues of the Bills, I think, are two separate issues that do not converge at any point.
Hey, let's get some answers to our Twitter question from the tweet sheet. It is brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. You want to get it going there, Steve?
Sure. From Joseph, he says, along with the win, what I want to see from the Bills against the Dolphins, in addition to the passing game showing some improvement with Allen hopefully finally connecting on a few deep balls, I would like to see a total team effort that demonstrates that, unlike past years, this year's Bills are indeed playoff contenders.
What are you looking for? I mean, right. Where do you see that?
I want to see a total team effort. I don't know what that looks like. I mean, that's what we're asking.
Effort's pretty solid.
You got to articulate it. Yeah. So from Manny, he also says, I choose other. I want to see this team bury the Dolphins like they should. Every game, even the Giants, for the most part, have been close. Don't play to the level of the competition. The Bills should win by double digits, put up 24-plus points, and look good doing it.
Bury them. What do you think of that?
It's pro football. Bury them. If they can't stop you, it's their problem. We're not – yeah, you know?
I saw the stat the other day.
If you can, do.
Sure, if you can. What did I see the other day? 55%, maybe more. I'll get it in the break. Most games, like three-quarters of games, are 7 points or less.
57 games of this season.
57%?
57 games total.
I got to look this up because it's pretty high percentage.
It might be percentage.
Most games are one-score games.
One-score games.
And the Bills have played and won four of their five games, many of them one-score games. What, four of them anyway, one-score games. Or three of them, right? Three, four, one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most games are close in the NFL. When you say it's pro football, you think bury him if you can. Sure. The point is, in pro football, you can't bury too many people.
I don't care who you're playing. You don't bury people very often unless something quirky happens. Now, the Dolphins, you know, of whatever percentage the one-score games are, four of their five losses have been by way more than one possession.
Right.
So they're contributing in a big way to it.
They're the outliers, by the way.
Exactly.
That's not supposed to happen.
The Bills, every game has been, except for the Giant game, has been within one score, even the game they lost. So the Bills, and then we've heard it say it a couple of times, they're built for this.
They're built for this complementary football where you grind it out, and you may only win by 7 points, but it doesn't look that close. You know, you were in control of it. You got 32 minutes of possession time. You got double the first downs that the other team does. They've struggled to get field goals, let alone touchdowns. You can go back to the Tennessee game, and I've heard some people out of Tennessee going, hey, if we make those kicks, you don't win. I don't know. Because we had the ball going in and laid down on it in the last series, and if you were 6 points, 7 points, 6 points down, I don't know what it was, 7 points down, you know, that's a game the Bills still could win with that last possession that they drove it right down the field with the run game. So it's a league built on close games. The Bills have been in five of them so far, and they're 4-1. They are built for this kind of thing.
Here's the stat I was looking for league-wide, and this came from the league. It's true. No other season in 100 years of NFL history, through 6 weeks, no other season has produced more games decided by 7 or fewer points than this year so far. This year, 55.5%, 51 of 92 games have been decided by 7 or fewer points, including 9 of the 14 games last week. And this season also tied for the most one-point games through week 6 since the merger. 1970, 55% of games, more than half, are decided by 7 points or less.
It's hard to win.
Yep.
It's hard to win.
One more from the tweet sheet. Along with the win, what do you want to see from the Dolphins? Nick tweets this in. I'd love to see Singletary make a solid contribution, as well as Josh Allen throwing for at least 300 yards and minimizing the mistakes and turnovers. I think the defense will be solid as long as Milano is back and keeping the run game for Squish the Fish in check. Josh has yet to throw for 300 yards in his career, so that would be a first. But Singletary, to me, would be my answer to this question, this Twitter question, because Nick says solid contribution. I'm down with that. I want to find out what his role is more than anything. I want, you know, 10 carries doesn't seem like enough through two games for Devin Singletary, does it? I think there's more that he can give this offense. And I'd like to see what it is this Sunday.
Right, it was first two games as a pro. I mean, it's weeks 1 and 2. I mean, they were just finding out about him, making kind of easing him in, I'm sure. It would have evolved further or differently. But I don't think you're going to see them use Devin Singletary like they're using Frank Gore. I think they're going to use him much differently than they use Frank Gore. I think Frank Gore is a running back between the tackles. And I think T.J. Yeldon is a receiving, a big, but receiving kind of running back out of the backfield as an outlet, that kind of thing. I think Devin Singletary does all of that stuff. And I think the perfect scenario for Devin Singletary would be 1 week they hand him the football in the run game 15 times, and the next week they only hand it to him twice, but they throw it to him 15 times. I think he's got that versatility where, depending on what defense you're facing, you can ask him to do a myriad of different things that put that defense in a bind. I think that's how Devin Singletary is going to contribute.
This week's game is sponsored by Great Lakes Cancer Care. Together, we are bigger than cancer. Steve and I have more to talk about in this game. We got guests coming up after practice ends as well. Come on back. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Tasker, practice wrapping up. We're moments away from Bills long snapper Reed Ferguson joining us. In the meantime, let's get back to the phone calls a little bit. Chris in West Seneca. Hello, Chris. You're on the air.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Yeah, I just real quick, before I ask my question, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. What Steve was just saying, I mean, I've been getting a lot of that. Like, well, if they would have made those kicks, we would have lost. Well, then if you fall behind, we go into a different game plan to come back.
Yeah.
Like that game with the Jets, I just knew the way how easy we were moving that ball. I had no doubt in my mind we were going to win that game.
Yeah. Now, you know, if this, if that, right, Steve? If my aunt had nickels, she'd be my uncle, right?
Something like that.
Something like that, right?
Yeah, the bottom line is this. They're a good team. They're 4-1 for a reason. It's because they're playing well. They've got a great defense and an offense that's got a lot of talent, and with a quarterback who's a playmaker and he does enough to win games. Certainly things can be different.
Go ahead, Chris. You got one more thing?
Yeah, and what do you think about starting to use our tight ends a little bit more? We got a good group of tight ends. I mean, and this is the tight ends thrive in this league now, and with those, you know, big guys that the draft pick we, you know, and then the 4-year guy we got. I mean, even Sweezy,
Sweeney.
Yeah, I don't know how you pronounce the last name. I get confused. I mean, these guys are big, and they can not only can they block. I mean, they got hands. I mean, to mix things up, like the three running backs we got. I mean, to me, like Steve said, I mean, Singletary can do all the above, but I think it's good to have him sit behind Gore for a year, kind of like Alex Smith and Mahomes in a running back situation. Let him learn from a guy that is number four rushing at all times. And that's about it. I mean, do you think it's the reason why they're backing off the tight ends not as much is because of our offensive line is just starting to gel and get annoyed?
What do you think of that? Steve? I don't know if they're backing off.
They're backing off. I think they're doing what it takes to win. I think they're giving the tight ends a little more. I think more of the problems they're having throwing the football, either the deep ball, either the tight ends or the running backs, it's all centered on Josh. He's got to start reading the defenses a little better, taking the easier completions. He did it this last week against Tennessee, no question. But I think this is a team offensively that presents itself kind of the same way to all these defenses they're playing, particularly good defenses like the Patriots and the Tennessee Titans. They do a nice job of keeping everything in front of them, and they'll give you – I mean, it was a point last year where – the Patriots were giving up yardage like it was Christmas, but you had a hard time scoring points on them. It's the same kind of thing here this year with the Patriots, although they're even better at stopping you even on the field, out on the field of play as well. The Tennessee Titans, I think, had a good game plan. But I'm with you. I mean, I'm all about using all the weapons they've got, but I think you're going to have to wait and see when you see this coaching staff unfurl a game plan where they've studied their opponents and they know where they can hit them, where it hurts. It may not be the tight ends. It may be the running backs. It may not be John Brown or Robert Foster. It may be Cole Beasley, or it may be Duke Williams. I think that's the intriguing part about this offense this year, is that they can decide how they want to attack the defense with whatever tool they want, and they've got guys that can get it done.
Hey, we're breaking here. When we come back, Bills long snapper Reed Ferguson joins us live in studio. Come on back for that. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.